Welcome in District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson, joining us for our weekly legislative update. Senator Jacobson, good to see you back in the studio again, sir.
Hey, it's great to be back. I had the four-day weekend, and trust me, it was needed.
It was needed, but also before you adjourned on Friday, Speaker Arch gave you and your colleagues a little bit of food for thought on the legislative floor.
Yes, I think everybody's been thinking it. I think now he's kind of laid out kind of where we're going. I think it's important for everyone to note, anybody that's been paying attention recognizes that it's been one filibuster after another, thanks to Senator Michaela Kavanaugh. And, you know, she made it pretty clear that she was going to filibuster every bill. I would just tell you that it's a little easier said than done. She's been successful thus far because we've been doing half-day floor debate, and so typically we would begin at 10 o'clock in the morning on the first day of session for the week, and then we'd start at 9 o'clock and run till noon. So we now are going to start at 9 o'clock, I believe, every morning. But from 9 to noon, you're getting in 3 hours. And so it's pretty easy to filibuster for 3 hours. Now we're going to go to all-day sessions starting tomorrow. So we have a recess day today. All the committee hearings ended last Friday. So every bill has had a hearing. Check that off. And now we go to all-day floor debate. So now the schedule, for example, Tuesday and Wednesday is going to be show up at 9 o'clock in the morning. We run from 9 to noon, recess from noon to 1, then come back at 1, and we run from 1 to 6, I believe, 5 or 6, and then we're going to take an hour, or we're going to take a half hour for dinner, and they're actually having the lobbyists are going to provide, as a group, are going to provide dinner for the legislature in the rotunda. And that'll happen at for a half an hour, and then we're going to go to 9 o'clock. So when you start thinking about 9 to 9 with an hour and a half break in between, if you're a one- or two-person filibuster, your voice is going to go at some point.
Yeah.
So that's a lot harder pull. Plus, I think what we ended with, and I think what you're referring to in terms of food for thought, is Steve Erdman is chairman of the Rules Committee, and so our rules lay out that the chairman of the Rules Committee can bring a rule as long as it's gone through committee, and they can do an exec meeting at any time to have their discussion. So what has been brought to the floor, and we'll start debating first thing tomorrow morning, is a suspension of the rules. So we'll suspend the rules to be able to allow only discussion on a bracket motion, a return to committee, or a motion to indefinitely postpone. Those are the three primary tools for filibusters. You'll only be able to introduce and speak to that or raise that one time per issue on the floor. So if someone brings a bill that we're going to discuss, you can use each of those three one time. Now, how does that matter? Well, if you recall last Thursday when we had just before the cloture debate on 574, there were 15 consecutive motions to bracket the bill. And so what happens? Well, these three motions are all what are referred to as priority motions. So as the name would imply, they take priority to any other debate on the floor. So if you go to the clerk and you file one of these priority motions, then you're the next one up to speak, okay? And you get open on your motion, and you get 10 minutes to open on your motion. So you jump ahead of the queue, jump ahead of everyone in the queue, you get to speak for 10 minutes, and then you sit down. But before you sit down, then you withdraw your motion, and then there's another one right behind you with some other person who's on the same position you are. And so this happens so that those supporting 574 could speak back to back to back to back to back. Now, technically you would say, well, how could that be germane to the motion? In other words, if the motion's to bracket, shouldn't you just be speaking towards the bracket motion? Well, the answer is yes, but now you come back to tradition, what's been the tradition of the legislature. So I think we're going to start seeing some changes there, because technically, if you file a bracket motion, you should only be able to speak to the bracket motion only. Why should we bracket the bill, not to the underlying bill itself? And so if you did that, then you wouldn't have 10 minutes worth of things to talk about. So that's that. What will likely happen is I fully expect, obviously, this will pass, the suspension of the rules. And by suspending the rules, then, as it relates to these three filibuster issues, that's going to significantly cut out the time that can be wasted utilizing those three tactics. I would also expect this week for the Speaker to likely step in and decide that he's going to change his own rule, which he has the power to do, in terms of what's considered full and fair debate. So that what that means is how long before you can ask for a cloture vote. Right now, it's always been historically you can debate a bill for 8 hours on general file. And so if someone calls the question or calls for a cloture vote prior to the 8 hours, it's generally ruled out of order because we haven't had, quote, full and fair debate.
And that's up to the discretion of the chair, right?
The speaker.
The speaker, okay.
The speaker would be the one who would set that rule, and the chair would enforce that rule.
Okay.
So if the speaker would decide, you know what, I think 4 hours is plenty on general file. I think maybe 2 hours rather than 4 hours is fine on select. And I think an hour rather than 2 hours on final reading is sufficient. That would become the norm, and that would be what we would use for the rest of the session.
Interesting. What are your thoughts on all of this, Senator Jacobson?
Well, I think it's important for people to note that I'm a defender of Speaker Arch. I think he's the right guy in the right place at the right time. I think that he is an intelligent individual. He's got the right demeanor and an ability to communicate with everyone. No matter who's running the legislature right now, they'd be challenged.
Yeah.
It's
a challenging job without this current legislature.
It is.
To be honest.
It is, and I think we need to recognize that we have introduced this year were a number of controversial bills. Okay, and so you also have a situation where you have 32 Republicans and 17 Democrats, so you have an overwhelming majority of really what would be considered more conservative people. And so what happens, the rules are really designed in the legislature to protect the minority from being overrun. You also need to recognize that there is a lot of media on the floor, and they're going to be watching and listening to what's going on. And if you look at any of the headlines that are being printed, most of the headlines don't begin with, gee, it's time for us to get back to work. That's usually not the headline you're reading.
No.
That's not the news item that you're reading. It's generally sympathetic to the minority. So I think Speaker Arch, knowing that we had to get through 812 bills through that had to each have a hearing, that we went for 2 weeks with all-day committee hearings. So we didn't get much floor debate done at that time. Then we were going to half days, which is typically what happens, half-day floor debate, half-day committee hearings, but he had to structure it that way just to get through all those bills by the time that we did. So now that we're ready to go to all-day floor debate, now he's had an opportunity and everyone's had an opportunity to see what the minority wants to do to filibuster, and I think everyone out there in the public has gotten their fill of what's going on. And so I think the mood's right now to where now if the majority comes in and says, okay, we're done playing around, but you've played your games, you've done your tactical moves. Now we're going to come in and we're going to make some rule changes. We're going to suspend some rules and we're going to move forward and do what the people sent us down here to do. I can tell you that I didn't go down to Lincoln to just debate on the issues that we're talking about now. I went down there to deliver something for the constituents here, and I would tell you the number one issue that I heard from my constituents in District 42 was to lower my property taxes, and that needs to be a high priority and will continue to be a high priority for me.
What's the general frustration level with the body as a whole?
And is it increasing, in your opinion, Senator?
Very much so, and I think this is the thing you need to keep in mind, and I think people need to be optimistic about, is if you listen to any of the floor debate, and I will tell you several of us sitting there tend to not listen to the floor debate when you're in the middle of a filibuster because It's just idle talk. And in fact, somebody sent me a text and said, well, why are people laughing on the side when there's some very serious things being said? And it's because people aren't even listening to floor debate at that point, because whatever's going to be said has already been said. And people,
redundancy.
And it's redundant, and people are having their own private conversations on the side. But
there's also some work that goes into that, too, though.
There is. Oh, yeah. And I will tell you that the private conversations, you know, you can sit here and talk on the mic all day long, but the real work gets done when you're walking around meeting with other senators and lobbying them to get what needs to be done. I can tell you that those who watch me probably realize that I'm generally in the chamber. I don't spend a lot of time in my office on the floor. Even though I could go down one flight of stairs and watch, monitor it on it from my office, I feel like I need to be there. But I will also tell you that you'll see me spending a lot of time, if the camera catches it, and I hope it doesn't, I'm talking to other senators. And when I'm talking to other senators, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm figuring out, how do we get things done? What do we need to do to get them on board and to move legislation forward? And I think people need to, again, understand the legislative math. You know, as I said, there's 32 Republicans. There's 17 Democrats. But we need to keep in mind it takes 33 votes to invoke cloture or stop debate. So that means if all the Republicans voted together, and that generally doesn't always happen, you're going to need at least one Democrat to join ranks with you to get to get a cloture vote. It takes 25 votes to pass a bill. So if you get the 33 to invoke cloture, you then need 25 to pass the underlying bill. You need 30 votes to override a governor's veto. So you need to understand how many votes do you need, and these are yes votes, and then you need to be able to count the votes and find out, do you have the support? I get a lot of emails from people who say, you know, this bill out there, I want you to make some changes to this bill. I want you to make it more stringent. I want you to make it less stringent. And the truth is that you got to figure out, are the votes there? Where are the votes to move anything? Mm-hmm. So a lot of this stuff that goes on is really working with the members of the body to really confirm, how many votes do you have under the current the bill in its current form? And then if you don't have the votes, what do we need to do to tweak this bill to get you on board? And then ultimately you need to work to amend the bill to get to the point where you can get the 33 you need to move it forward. And I know people get frustrated with that and say, oh, don't compromise. Well, you know, if you don't compromise, you don't get anything done. The legislature by its nature, it's built on compromise. And so you need to be careful that you don't compromise more than you should. You need to be a very good negotiator. And I can tell you, 43 years in banking, I've had more than my share of negotiations along the way. And I think I'm pretty good at being able to read people and figure out how to negotiate a deal and move it forward. And that's getting tested a lot this year in the legislature.
It's a balancing act, Senator Jacobson, and you can't understand it unless you've gone through it or are going through it.
That's correct. That's exactly right. But rest assured, I read all the emails from the people in the district. Right now, I'll be honest with you, I'm getting a huge number of emails, but many of them are coming from outside the district. I'm going to let Joe and Christina look at those and tell me whether I need to respond to anything there. But for the most part,
they're a priority of yours, but not as high of a priority as if they came from District 42.
Well, the truth is that District 42, if you've got an address in District 42, I'm reading your email and I'm likely responding to your email, okay? Because you're who I'm representing. If somebody sends me a robo email from Lincoln or Omaha, I'm just going to delete it, okay? Because you just don't have the time to do that. I'm down there to support and to represent my constituents and my constituents' views. And although everyone in District 42 doesn't think the same, and clearly I get emails from different sides of both issues, and people are very passionate about them, at the end of the day, I've really got to look at what are the majority of the people want in this district, and I've got to move forward and represent that view.
Speaking of controversy in the legislature, Senator Jacobson, the Let Them Grow Act came to a vote last week. A lot of conversation on it, and cloture eventually invoked and passed. I've heard some rumblings that there was a potential amendment discussed that kind of showed some of the favoritism in this bill.
There was. I would tell you that I had quite a bit to do with that amendment getting brought. And again, it's just a matter of counting votes. The votes were never there to pass the bill in its current form. They just were never there. And frankly, the Speaker scheduled it this week, knowing that I was scheduled to be gone on Thursday and Friday for a board meeting down in Topeka, Kansas. And I'd let the Speaker know that 3 weeks ahead of time, and everyone in the body, for the most part, knew that I was planning to be gone. And also, Ray Aguilar had emergency knee surgery.
From Grand Island, right?
From Grand Island. He had a knee replacement and evidently went and got his teeth cleaned and got infection, and it settled in his knee, and so they had to pull the joint out. So that was done here a couple weeks ago, and so he was home convalescing. So that bill was going to need my vote and Ray's vote, but we were still about three votes short, even if Ray and I were there. So I think the reason that the Speaker scheduled it for this past week was he had made a deal with Senator Kavanaugh that she would stop filibustering if he would bring that bill. Well, she knew that the votes weren't there to pass it in its current form. So she got a little surprised then when I had been working with the governor's office and with Kathleen Kauth, who brought the bill, and said, you know, we could make some tweaks to this bill, and I believe the votes are there if we're willing to make some compromise on the bill and get the bulk of it passed, but make some changes. And up until that time, everyone was resisting that. So when the governor was out here last Friday, a week ago Friday, I visited with he and his staff and said, you know, you realize that we don't have the votes on that. And they said, yeah, we understand that. And I said, but I think we can get the votes. And well, how would we get it? And I told them, and so I showed them the amendment, and it's basically the amendment would be to adopt the Arizona law. And that's also a mirror image pretty much of the West Virginia law and the Utah law. And they said, we'd accept that. We think that makes sense. So they talked to Kathleen Kauth, Senator Kauth, and she agreed. And so then now that changed the game, because now they're going to need me to be there on Thursday. So I said from the beginning, the legislature's going to come first. And so I skipped part of my meeting in Kansas, or in Topeka, to be able to be there for the vote on the cloture vote on Thursday. Ray Aguilar was brought in to Lincoln so that he could be there to vote, and so he was rolled in a wheelchair to be able to vote. And
God bless him.
That's dedication.
He's a soft-spoken guy too. You don't hear from him a lot, but when you do, he has great insight to provide.
He's really a great guy, and he's been there. He came back after being term limited, so he's got the most tenure of anyone in the legislature right now that's serving today. And I really like Ray. I really always liked him, and we have a great relationship. And so, people were thanking me for making the commitment to stick around for the vote, but the thanks needs to go to Ray Aguilar, because he's the one who literally was still convalescing from this surgery and made the trip down to Lincoln to be able to vote. And so we got the 33 votes for cloture. What's interesting and what doesn't get talked about is Senator Kavanaugh was just livid when she found out that I had brought this amendment, because she was all in favor of the amendment 2 weeks ago. But then when she thought that she could kill the bill without, if we didn't add the amendment, now she wanted to kill the bill. So
like
then
that
she,
alternative more.
Right. So then she was upset with me, of course, was calling me out on the floor and Speaker Arch, and was just really ticked off, because it looked like we had the path forward. And we did, and I knew we had the votes, and if everybody hung together, which I thought they would, we would get the 33 votes for cloture, and we'd get sufficient votes to move the bill forward. And so I kept telling her and her colleagues that were resisting, I said, you guys now need to figure out which form of the bill you want. Okay, I brought an amendment that I think accomplishes something for everyone, and so you guys can let the amendment on the bill, and we can pass it and move on. Or you guys can fight the amendment and run the risk that we're going to pass the bill as is. So they wouldn't let the amendment on. They'd filed all these other dilatory motions that were blocking the ability to attach the amendment. So what we needed to do is pass it, move it on to select file, where we can attach the amendment on select file. So so that's the plan now, is to attach the amendment on select file. And if that's the case, then I know we've got solidly 33 votes. If we can't get it attached on select, then we're gonna have, I'm gonna have to go back to those who were resistant to vote for the bill as is, and see if we can't get them to stay on, because we've tried to add the amendment, and if the left is going to block it, then we maybe need to pass the bill as is. So, but I'm pretty confident that we will get the amendment added, and if that happens, then I'm confident that the bill will move forward, and we'll get a good chunk of what we wanted to accomplish, and hopefully move on to other issues.
Senator Jacobson, anything else you'd like to add this morning, sir?
I would just remind people again that be patient. I think things will start moving. Remember that priority bills are going to be the only bills that get heard, and not all of those will get heard. There will be some Christmas tree bills, which is a series of bills coming from committees. I feel good about where my bills are at this point, but also I need to hear from you if there's a bill that you were interested in trying to get passed that's not a priority bill. Let me know what that is, and if there's a way to get it added on to a priority bill through an amendment on the floor as we move forward, that's one of the ways to still make some of this happen. So don't feel like that we're done, but also don't come to me with a completely new concept, because that's gonna have to come next year.
It's too late.
That's right.
Senator Jacobson, we appreciate the time as always. Best of luck this week, and safe travels, most importantly, sir.
Thank you very much.